Spins it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorofeev. One-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin. Score!
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Tuesday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Hour number two, we're going to get into one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. But as we tend to do every first show of the week, we like to take phone calls, usually in the first segment. Things got a little bit wonky this week because of varying schedule issues. So let's do it now. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. It's your opportunity to ask us a question. It can be as specific to the Golden Knights as you want it to be. It can be larger NHL focused. It can be all about this series between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars, what we saw out of game one, trends that we can kind of project forward. If you can't call in, but you want to get your questions or your thoughts or opinions through, you can always hit us on the text line as well. 702-876-1340. Same number for the text line as we've got for the phone line in the studio. So pick up the phone, dial it up. The Golden Knights, defending Stanley Cup champions, are one win closer to defending that Stanley Cup championship. They are one win closer to moving on in the postseason, and they did it in great fashion last night in Dallas against the Stars. 702-876-1340. This segment belongs to you. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, welcome home, my friend. Good to hear you. It was a great first hour, by the way. You guys were informative and had a lot of good information. So did John Shannon. So thank you for that. A moment of silence, if I may. It was 5 years ago today that we had the Not a Major call. I'm sure we all remember that one, don't we?
I remember it, but honestly, if you would, I did not know that this was the anniversary. Not at all.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants to remember. It was 5 years ago today, believe it or not.
Yeah, I was there, and I don't even remember the date. So,
oh, it was a tough day. It was the worst day I've ever lived with as a Knights fan. At any rate, that's palates have been cleansed because last night did that for us. I just wondered, guys. And we talked last night, Chris, and you had a really good call about the changing, perhaps, of the lineup and how it may evolve and how Pavel Dorofeev may get back into it somehow. But would you change the lineup for Game 2 or would you not?
I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if everyone's healthy, I don't make any adjustments. I really don't. I think you look at the Golden Knights, what they were able to do, and listen, I understand that you probably wanted more offensively. They scored 4 goals. It wasn't a lot of shot volume, a high output night for the Golden Knights by any stretch, but they were incredibly opportunistic. They took advantage of great scoring chances, and they flat out made plays that beat Jake Oettinger. So you're going to tip your cap to that for sure. I think the offense will come. I'm more concerned about how this team defends. And I thought last night in the third period specifically, they shut the Dallas Stars down. That's what wins in the playoffs. So from that perspective, I'm not changing anything or adjusting anything going into game number two.
Now, to be fair, there could potentially be a change because I didn't see if Nick Hague participated in practice today, but he did leave. On Dallas's third, on the Marchment goal, he left the ice, went down the tunnel, did not return. So I guess that would then bear the question, Ben Hutton or Alec Martinez. And I think, you know, based depending on the health of Martinez and you know, if he's good to go, then I think he's in. But if not, look, I'm not losing sleep if Ben Hutton has to play.
But the bottom line is the offense stays intact, according to you guys.
I'm not. I wouldn't change anything.
Okay. The interesting 15 games in the first round went to the home team, and only one did not. So it's an amazing home ice advantage so far, anyway.
Well, Toronto won last night. So
no, the first game.
Oh, first game. I got you. Okay. All right.
15 out of 16.
Yeah.
It's an incredible statistic, but I don't think it means much. Yeah, it just happened.
It does.
No, it does. Yeah, it does mean something, I think.
Mike. Well, it does and it doesn't. It doesn't really mean much in the context of the entire series. I think what it means, if you're looking at it through the Golden Knights lens, is that this team is unfazed by any scenario that's put in front of them. That's why we were talking about it doesn't matter if they're third seed. It doesn't matter if they're in a wild card spot. It doesn't matter if they win their division or the conference. This team isn't going to be fazed by the opponent that they play or where they have to open up a series because they've won before, they know what it takes, and that to me is what you saw in their ability to win the opening game, the only road team to do so is so far in the playoffs.
Oh, amazing, absolutely astonishing. I'll leave you with this thought. I'd like your opinion at this moment. Take off the rose-colored glasses and tell me, which conference is better, the West or the East?
Can we put a pin in that? And thanks, Mike, for the call to one-timers, because that's something that's going to require, I think, more time than what we have right now. But that's a really interesting topic. Chapman, you said that it does matter. Where were you going with that?
Well, I think if you're the road team and you win game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have a greater chance of winning the series than if you don't. So I think I think I saw that it's 68% of the teams that win game one go on to win the series. So
yeah,
I think by winning on the road, you have now put yourself in position to where just don't lose at home and you win the series.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I think that's where it matters.
You'll take any split.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, for you sure. know, you and I had a discussion. I think we were either texting or maybe talking a week ago when we knew that this was what was going to take place, that just get the split. The Golden Knights are more than capable of winning a road game in Dallas, and we both were pretty adamant about the fact that we didn't really care that they were starting on the road because this team is confident enough to go in and win, and we saw it last night.
Yeah, for sure. 702-876-1340. It's your segment. It belongs to you. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
No complaints.
So I'm really glad to have you back, Ryan. Even more glad, though, that you're actually able to take that time off and be with your family. Chappy did you proud. He did a good job with keeping the show afloat and the pregame and postgame. Gosh, it was just an exciting game last night, and I can't wait to see more in the playoffs, right? Like was brought up, I think, I caught kind of the tail end of it, but being the only team in the first round to win on the road is a big thing. And, you know, we may have snuck in, quote-unquote, as, you know, second wild card, but Vegas is a team to be afraid of.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Stephanie, for sure, and thanks for the kind words and thanks for the call. I don't know that I view... It's still a 98-point season, right? Like, they had an opportunity to have a 100-point season. It kind of lends into Mike's question earlier, which is the better conference, the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference? When you look at it objectively, I think that there are eight teams that are legitimately for real in the Western Conference. I think you look at the Eastern Conference, there are two teams that very simply don't look like they belong. That's the New York Islanders and the Washington Capitals. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that on the surface. So just in that regard, you had to be a really good team to make the postseason in the Western Conference. Every single spot, you had to be good. And, you know, for the Golden Knights, I think, again, it kind of goes back to the point that Chris and I were making, and I think it's a good one, in that it doesn't matter. It does not matter who they play. You have to beat good teams anyway. And the fact of the matter is, going on the road alleviates pressure in some way, especially as defending Stanley Cup champions, because no one's really expecting you to go in there and win game one or get the split. You're looking at home ice advantage as kind of this aura thing where no one's going to be able to overtake that. And the Golden Knights, they turn that on their head in game number one, and now all the pressure in the world is on the Dallas Stars. All the pressure going into tomorrow's game, game two, is on Dallas. Let's see how they respond, and let's see if the Golden Knights can continue to dial up the pressure. I'm expecting a better offensive performance just in terms of shot volume. I don't think we're going to see just 15 shots on goal for the Golden Knights tomorrow when all is said and done. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win the game, but I think that the Golden Knights are going to be even better tomorrow than they were on Monday night, and that there's a lot of different reasons for that, and hopefully we can kind of get to that as we go along here. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Charlie. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Question, if Hague is out, will Martinez come in, or will it be Hutton?
Yeah, that's a really good question. If you're asking me what I would do, I would lean more so to Ben Hutton. I just think he has been better in the periods of hockey that he has played for this team this season, especially down the stretch, than what you've gotten out of Alec Martinez. Now, that being said, you could reunite the pair of right. Alec Martinez and Alex Pietrangelo. You know that you have that to kind of rely upon. And then maybe you have a pair of Noah Hanifin and Zach Whitecloud, and you kind of see how things go there. But if it were me, I would go Hutton first over Martinez. What about you, Chapman?
Yeah, I think for the experience factor, I'll lean to Alec mm-hmm. Martinez. And it gives you some flexibility in your defensive pairings, because we know that Pietrangelo and Martinez were the pair on the ice last year for you when you won the Stanley Cup throughout the playoffs. So I think just from a familiarity standpoint, I like Alec Martinez in that role. But I'm a big Ben Hutton fan, Charlie. So I don't, like I said earlier, I wouldn't lose any sleep if Ben Hutton is in the lineup for the Golden Knights tomorrow. I think he's a really solid player. And, you know, he's a guy who plays within himself. He never tries to be a different player than who he is. And I think that's what makes him a guy who is a bona fide NHL player.
Right. Now, did Carrier get dinged up in the third period yesterday, to Carrier?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I don't know.
Okay. Because he didn't play much. And again, that fourth line is usually so good when they're trying to hold on to a lead.
I think that that's a great observation, Charlie, but I think when you've got Mark Stone healthy, you've got William Karlsson healthy, and you've got Jack Eichel healthy, three of your best forwards, number one in terms of winning faceoffs, and number two in terms of defensive structure and kind of making big plays and big moments, I think that's why you saw those players on the ice protecting that one goal lead late, as opposed to your fourth line.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for the call, Charlie. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. This segment belongs to you. It's Ask the Insiders. Let's go back out of the phone lines. Bring in Jesse. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Nah, he's gone.
All right, no Jesse.
He did have a great one-liner, and he said that we'd be able to refill Lake Mead with all the tears from the NHL fans with Mark Stone returning to the lineup. So good stuff.
Okay, so a couple of things that I want to touch on here as we wait for more phone calls. We've got more time in this segment, so if you want to pick up the phone, 702-876-1340. Jesse, if you want to call back and talk about the salt and the tears, by all means, the lines are open right now. We have lines open. This segment belongs to you. I did throw it out there on the text line, too, that we, if you couldn't call in, we'd get to some of these texts. This is an interesting one from Joseph, and I want to kind of pick your brain on it, Chapman.
Okay.
If the Golden Knights go up 2-0 or 3-0, do you think Aiden Hill will get an opportunity to try and get to where he works in a game to provide relief? Here's my read on the goaltending. And admittedly, like, I was not plugged in last week at all, but I will say this. Logan Thompson earned the game one start. Logan Thompson had some really bright moments in the game yesterday. He picks up his first career playoff win. The nerves have to be settled down now because you've gotten that milestone over with. You've checked that box off, so to speak. I think Logan will be better tomorrow than he was in game number one. And so for that reason alone, I don't know that you're going to adjust or go to anything different when it comes to your goaltender for game number two. I think you run it back exactly as it was. Now, that being said, it can change at any point in time. I don't think you have to go up 2-0 or 3-0 to feel like you can spot in Aiden Hill. I think what Bruce Cassidy is going to do is he's going to try to keep his finger on the pulse of what he's getting out of his goaltending department. Is he getting the timely saves? I would make the argument that last night, Logan Thompson made some timely saves, specifically after allowing a soft goal in the third period to give Dallas life. So if as long as you're getting that, and as long as you're defending well, I think you run with the hot hand, and that's not to say that I'm not expecting Aiden Hill to be a factor. I do believe Aiden Hill will play playoff games, but right now, you roll with Logan Thompson. What say you?
I'm going down the same road as you. I don't think the situation matters as much as how Logan Thompson is playing. Look, if Logan Thompson's playing well, you're not pulling him out of the game, regardless of whether or not you're up 3-0 in this series or not. I think it's just you're going to roll with the hot hand, and it's a matter of who's playing better at the time. And look, if Logan Thompson plays really well for 16, 17 games, maybe he doesn't even come out of the lineup.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Steven. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Well, first off, how are you doing? I heard what happened with the family, and God bless you. Is everything good with you?
Yeah, I'm great, bud.
Awesome, man. God bless your family, man. I take care of all of you guys, for real. And also, I wanted to ask a question about the face-offs last night in the third period. I made an interesting note with Jack Eichel taking the face-offs there in the third period over Tomas Hertl. I know Hertl's one of the better face-off guys in the NHL, period. Do you find that a little interesting that he was taking the face-off there in that really crucial stretch there to end the game?
I don't, because I think it goes beyond just winning and losing face-offs. I think that you are in a period or in a moment where you're trying to protect 6-on-5, a one-goal lead. And, you know, Jack Eichel has been relied upon for the Golden Knights throughout the playoff run last year. In that spot, he has scored empty net goals for the Golden Knights, big ones to kind of seal victories in pressure-packed moments. And so I think that, you know, with Hertl coming in, that's a very, very specialized situation, one in which Jack Eichel's very familiar. And I think you just kind of lean on that. You hope that he wins the draw. He did a really good job in those face-offs. But it's more so about what happens beyond just the puck drop. Do you trust Jack Eichel in that spot, in that hyper-specialized moment? I think that kind of goes into the decision-making.
Yeah, Steven, though, I had the same thoughts as you, but I think Ryan clarified, gave us an answer as to why that was, because I kept looking to see Tomas Hertl out there on the ice taking the face-off in those final minute and a half, 90 seconds, 2 minutes of the game, wondering why he's not taking the face-offs. But I think Ryan just gave us our answer.
Yeah, that was it was definitely interesting at first when I saw it, but it definitely makes sense. Jack Eichel with his elite shot there, if he can win the faceoff and then say he gets free, he could easily launch that puck all the way down the ice to get into the goal there for the empty net. So that definitely would make sense. But overall, even though that game almost took 30 years off my life last night, I got to admit, we played very well defensively. And Logan, you said he actually had a pretty good performance in my eyes, except for those three softies, so I expect him to get better as the playoffs go on. I think we can easily ride this whole way with him, honestly. Even though Aiden's great, if Logan keeps this up, I don't see why we would change goalies at all. Ride the hot hand.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Steven. Thanks so much for the call. You know, it's not just about Jack's shot. I think that when you are trying to integrate new players, as the Golden Knights are trying to integrate Tomas Hertl, like in the regular season, you put him in those spots because you want to bring him along. But we're talking about 7 games for Hertl as a Vegas Golden Knight, as opposed to, you know, well over or close to 60, 70, 80 games for Jack Eichel as a Vegas Golden Knight. 100 games, whatever it might be. I think you trust him in that moment to deliver, not just in terms of the faceoff, not in terms of scoring or securing an empty net goal, but in defending and not missing assignments in that spot. And that's not to say that Hurdle can't do it. I just think it's going to take time before Tomas Hurdle supplants a guy like Jack Eichel or William Karlsson in that particular moment, protecting a lead with under a minute left. So that's my viewpoint on it. Let's jump back to the text line. Robert Ogerchuk says this: I feel this was the floor for the Knights in the playoffs. They'll only get better from here. I agree with this wholeheartedly. And this is kind of the idea that sprung to mind for me, Chapman. We can kind of play with this, paint with broad strokes here. The Dallas Stars, the Winnipeg Jets, really put any other team that you want to that's in the postseason right now that hasn't gone through the injury issues all season that the Golden Knights have. They have had all regular season long to play with their chemistry, to find line combinations that work so that they can build their game going into the postseason. And the Dallas Stars, the best team in the Western Conference, they were right there in terms of the President's Trophy. They put in a great year. But when you look at the Dallas Stars right now, there's only so much more they're going to be able to give you. Like, they have built their game to the point where it is in really good shape, and I think Dallas is a very good, very good hockey team. How many more degrees can they ratchet up the intensity? How many more degrees can they ratchet up their individual and team game? I don't know, but I don't feel like it's as much as the Golden Knights, who all throughout the season have not had a consistent lineup night in and night out because of injuries, who all throughout the season had to rely upon different chemistry sets to put together a lineup that makes sense. And for game number one of the postseason, iced a roster that they had not iced at any other point in the regular season. So in that regard, the Golden Knights have a lot higher ceiling in this particular moment than, say, Dallas or Winnipeg or literally any other team, because you have different variables, unknown variables, new variables, and for the first time all year long, they're all together on the ice. And so in that regard, I look at the Golden Knights and what they were able to accomplish last night and how much they looked like themselves. And I still said there's another gear or two or three once everything works out. Once Hurdle and Stone start to really build chemistry 5-on-5, once this team gets cooking, I just believe they have another gear, another level or two. And I don't know that a lot of other teams in this spot at this moment are going to be able to find that, just because they've been playing together and building their game all year long.
Yeah, you and I kind of talked about it a little bit in the break about as far as who can match the Golden Knights in terms of depth. And you and I both like the Winnipeg Jets, but Golden Knights are better.
Yeah.
I like Dallas's blue line. I like Miro Heiskanen. I think Thomas, I'm so used to saying Tomas now, Thomas Harley is a really good young player. Dallas has some real star potential in their lineup, in their forward positions. But at the end of the day, the Golden Knights, when they put their defensive pressure on you, it's very, very difficult to break. And we saw that last year with the Edmonton Oilers. We saw it last night with the Golden Knights, and this was game one. I mean, if this team, like, honestly, Ryan, the biggest opponent for the Golden Knights in this postseason is not going to be whoever's on the other side of the ice. It's going to be health. Mm-hmm. Because if they're fully healthy for the next 2.5 months, and I understand based on what you saw in the season, regular season, that's a really big if, but there's nobody better. There's not one team in the NHL better if they're fully healthy. And I will, I'll say that till I'm blue in the face.
Based on what we saw last night, I mean, listen, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, on paper, this Golden Knights team, the roster that Vegas put on the ice last night, is deeper than the roster they had on the ice game 5 of the Stanley Cup final last year. You can't argue otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, you have Tomas Hertl and you've got Noah Hanifin and Anthony Mantha, and I mean,
they are a deeper, more talented team than they were last year. And that doesn't always guarantee success, but when you start to see the building blocks and the reasons for why individual players were picked up, all of a sudden it makes just so much sense for what Kelly McCrimmon was trying to build. Last text, and then we're going to take a break. I know we're up against it, and we have a giveaway that Chapman's going to do in just a moment. Donnie Moss says, thoughts on the power play. Partially fixed, still needs work, needs a lot of work, and why? Thank you. I would say partially fixed to fixed, and the reason why is Hertl. You have a guy that wants to live in front of the net. You have a guy that is great at screening goaltenders and deflecting pucks and providing that option. It's going to open up other lanes, other avenues for this team to be dangerous on the man advantage. They have, in just the sample size with Tomas Hertl, they have 9 power play goals on 17 power play opportunities. They are operating at 53% with Hertl in the lineup. He is a guy that has fixed their power play along with Noah Hanifin's desire to get pucks to the front of the net. So I think it's partially fixed to fixed. Chapman, real quick, what do you say? And then let's do that giveaway.
Well, numbers don't lie. We see teams in the league operate at a high clip on power play. Edmonton, certainly, Toronto being another one, the Rangers. With the talent the Golden Knights have on that power play unit now, there's no reason why. Look, they're not gonna hit it 50%, but we do see teams in the 25-30% range. There's no reason why, with Tomas Hertl in there and Mark Stone in there and Jack Eichel in there and whoever else you want to throw in there, Noah Hanifin, there's no reason why the Golden Knights cannot operate at a 25-30% clip either.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do the giveaway.
Okay. All right. So the winner will get a 2-foot sub from Porter Subs, and they will qualify to win a pair of tickets to a round 1 playoff game. Don't know which one yet. Fuel up for the playoffs with Port of Subs, slice fresh subs, salads, and wraps. Visit us today. Order ahead at portofsubs.com or download our app for freshness at your fingertips. Winner must pick up the sub at the station, and if you win the tickets, you'll be called on Friday morning.
Full-on disclaimer there, eh?
Hey, listen, I don't want anyone to have any delusions about it. I'm not delivering the sub to your house.
Okay.
You know what? We actually did a promotion once where I brought food to a listener's house UFC event, yeah. And then I thought all I had to do was drop the food off, and I came all the way home, and then I got a phone call from the program director like, hey, the listener won the opportunity to have you hang out with them at the UFC party. And I'm like, why would they want to hang out with me?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, did you get to stay?
I got in the car and drove back, and they were really actually really, really nice people. They owned a local restaurant here in town, and nice. So it was a good time, yeah.
Okay, was there a caller number on that?
Let's go with caller number 9 for Jack Eichel.
All right, caller number 9, 702-876-1340. Caller number 9, one-timers are next.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. You know, I look at the Vancouver Canucks, and I'm just not sure. Like, I want to be sold on them, Chapman. I do. I thought it was a great performance from them the other night. They were able to erase a deficit in the third period. They score 3 goals in the third period to take that first game, that opener, from the Nashville Predators. But then the news hit today that Thatcher Demko will not play tonight and is questionable for the rest of the opening round series against the Predators. Then we talked about it with Darren Millard and John Shannon, and there's questions as to whether or not Demko would be available even beyond this first round if the Canucks were able to beat Nashville. I know this is overly simplistic. Can Vancouver win without Thatcher Demko?
No. I'll give you a simplistic answer.
You're that matter of fact, huh?
I don't think they're winning the series with Thatcher Demko. So
Cole, really?
Yeah, I think Nashville.
What do you like about Nashville over Vancouver?
It's not so much what I like about Nashville, it's what I don't like about Vancouver. Now, they
what proved, do you don't they what do you not now, like about now, Vancouver?
Look, they proved me wrong on Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
They have an opportunity.
One game
at home.
Yeah.
Which they trailed, and Nashville kind of collapsed once they gave up that second goal, but I think
they look tired.
I don't know, and maybe they just exerted too much energy down the stretch trying to get into the playoffs. Like after they had that long point streak, they kind of waffled a little bit and were about a 500 team the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. I just thought that maybe the inexperience, and not like Nashville's got a ton of experience, but they've got guys like Ryan O'Reilly who've been through it before. And so I thought maybe their experience would be a benefit. But look, Vancouver has an opportunity to prove me wrong. And I would be shocked if they were to win without Thatcher Demko. Look, Casey DeSmith had a really good year. He's not Thatcher Demko. I know they were going to play. Now they debated playing the other kid. Shilovs, is that how you say it?
Sealovs, whatever.
Sealovs, yeah. Archers?
Yeah.
Archers Sealovs?
Archers Sealovs.
Not to be confused with Archers Urbay. But
one of my favorites.
I love that name, Archer Serpe.
Yeah, I loved his mask. His whole setup was phenomenal.
Oh yes, his mask. Back when the Sharks were tolerable.
Sure. I've never had an issue with the Sharks.
Maybe not so much.
They've never won anything.
That's true.
They've never won anything, Chapman. How are you mad at the Sharks? They've never won anything.
Listen, I was on the East Coast. I had no problem with San Jose. Yeah. But look, I don't know, man. I think tonight's a big game, but I think even if Vancouver wins and goes up 2-0 in the series, I wouldn't push the panic button on the Predators.
Okay. You said something about Nashville exerting too much effort. Speaking of a team that didn't exert any effort, the New York Islanders had a 3-0 lead almost by, like, happenstance, right? Like, when you look at the final numbers after game two between Carolina and the Islanders, the New York Islanders do not belong on the same sheet of ice as the Carolina Hurricanes. I know shot attempts, Corsi, doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it gives you an idea of who's carrying the run of play. This is video game status, Chapman. The Carolina Hurricanes held a 110-28 shot attempt advantage over the New York Islanders. When I say there are only 6 legitimate teams, maybe 5 legitimate teams in the Eastern Conference, this is what I'm talking about. You look at the Washington Capitals, you look at the New York Islanders, it is essentially a bye for the Rangers and the Hurricanes to the second round. It is. They're so overmatched. It's not even funny. I don't know that Washington and the Islanders are going to be able to put together a win between the two of them.
Yeah, listen, the Rangers, the Capitals, that's a mismatch that should not have happened. Look, that the question isn't can Washington win the series. The question is can Washington win a game?
Right.
When Matt Rempe scores, that's generally a problem for you. Tom Wilson and Jacob Trouba hasn't really turned into much. And then the Islanders last night, look, all they needed to do was play one period of hockey, and they would have walked out of Raleigh with a split. Not only did they fail to play one period of hockey, they gave up 2 goals in 9 seconds.
Right.
To a team that doesn't score 6-on-5 goals. The Carolina Hurricanes were the 4th worst team in the league, scoring 6-on-5 goals in the regular season. And what do? They score a 6-on-5 goal against the Islanders. The winning goal, which went in, by the way, 9 seconds later.
Oh my goodness!
And then all hell broke loose. It was like a lumberjack match in Madison Square Garden in the old WWF days, because it was guys getting tossed left and right. And I picked the Islanders to win the series because I wanted some chaos, and I figured, listen, there's a massive upset every year in the first round of the playoffs. The Islanders,
sure.
The Capitals, they may as well be on the golf course because they don't belong on the ice with the Rangers or the Hurricanes.
Okay, so that leads me into the VGK Insider Score Update brought to you by Findlay Cadillac in the Valley Auto Mall. The New York Rangers have just scored to make it 4-2, their lead over the Washington Capitals in Game 2 of their first-round series. So about 3 minutes left in the second period there. The Rangers up 4-2 on the Capitals, about to go up 2-0 in the series if that score holds for another period or so. The Florida Panthers also up 2-1 on the Tampa Bay Lightning. 16.5 minutes left in the second period on that one. It's too early for me, and I'm not going to make any proclamations until I see Tampa on home ice, but I think they might be in trouble. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't disagree.
Dot, dot, ellipses, to be continued. We will see. I'm not making the bold proclamation just yet, but I'm inclined to believe that Tampa is indeed in trouble. Those are your one-timers for today, Tuesday, April 23rd. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
So, I requested to open Catching Up with Chapman, first and foremost, to thank Chris Chapman for everything that he was able to do for me and my family last week, for filling in, for taking on a lot of work, bearing that burden. It meant the world to me. It means the world to my family. Buddy, I can't thank you enough. Beyond Chapman, that extends obviously to the Vegas Golden Knights, the entire organization, media relations department, who had my back and helped me through a really tough week. And the same thing for Lotus Broadcasting, Natalie Marsh, Doug Marsh, Q, everybody behind the scenes that picked up a lot of slack so that I could be there and focus on what means the most to me and is most important in life and my family. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, and all the listeners and everybody that reached out and had the kindest words to say to me for my daughter, all of it. It touched me in a way that I don't really express too often. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Chapman, buddy, I'll never forget what you were able to do for me last week, and I appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
I mean, I don't have anything else to say. You know, it's like there's nothing more important than life, than your family, hockey, the show. Everything's secondary, and you being there for Amanda and the kids was more important to me than you being on the show. So, but I'll talk to you tomorrow, pal.
All right, buddy. We'll see you then.